Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Blue Collar BS. Today, we got a good one. Our buddy George McCann is in the house. Now, George isn't our typical guest. He's a CPA who left the corporate world and somehow ended up leading a pack of lawyers. That is correct. A blue collar guy running a law firm. Wrap your head around that.
We're talking about the real stuff. Generational leadership. How to actually connect with your younger employees. And why listening might be the most underrated skill in the workplace. George has been around the block, Rotary clubs, mentoring young pros, leading teams, and he's still learning, still pushing.
This isn't some fluffy leadership podcast. This episode, George lays it out, how he went from chopping cotton in Mississippi to the C-suite, and we, of course, try to derail it with a bracket talk and BS like usual.
If you're a business owner, a manager, just someone trying to make sense of today's workforce without losing your damn mind, stick around. There's gold in this one.
There's gold in this one. You bet. Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Blue Collar BS podcast. Hey, Brad, how you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Doyle. It is weekend number one of the NCAA tournament.
Oh.
And I have one loss so far through, we're recording 2 o'clock central here on Friday. I've got one loss so far, and that was the Clemson game.
You lost on Clemson, huh?
That had perfect bracket thus far. So
wow. That's that. You know what? I actually have the best bracket. I don't do this stuff.
You didn't have
I have
it.
Never done a bracket ever. Well, period.
That's your fault.
I just can't.
You're just taking pride in being stubborn.
You got to take pride in something. So let's roll. Let's roll. That's the sword I'm going on today.
All right. Stick to your guns.
So, Brad, who do we have on the show today?
Oh, we have a dear friend that we met almost 10 years ago in San Diego.
Yeah.
George McCann, who's now the CEO of Res Legal. He was with our organization for a while. He was International Paper for 11 years as a project manager, division controller, CPA. The guy is full of a wealth of knowledge, and for some reason, he decided to lead a company of lawyers. Welcome to the show, George.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You say that now.
He does. They all say that now.
I know. Every time.
Every time. So before we get back to reminiscing here, George, which generation do you identify or fit in with?
Well, I fit in with baby boomers, but I try to go across all of them.
So explain right. that. Explain that.
Yeah.
So part of that is I'm in Rotary, and one of the things that we do is I mentor Rotaractors, which are probably mid-20s to mid-30s, and I do that every year, and it's really good for me for a litany of reasons. So I can listen to understand what they're doing in a very free-form standpoint. Also, we have younger associates or attorneys here, so it gives me a better idea of some of the things that they're dealing with and just creates that, and I try to do my reading, you know, a couple times a week, and it's always something from a generational thing. And I know we're going to talk more detail on that a little bit. But
so do you have beer pong tables sitting in your office?
We do not. We're in the law firm. Remember, we're not at Google. Yeah.
I was just seeing how you're trying to bridge the gap. That's all.
Yeah. No.
Go on walks. That's always good. So.
That's funny. So, George, tell us about your journey to where you are today.
You mean my personal journey?
Yeah.
Or your wife's. Your choice.
Okay. No. I grew up in Mississippi, obviously the Ole Miss here. I went to school there. I chopped cotton as a kid. And my dad said, if you don't study in school, that's what you're going to do the rest of your life. I'm like, you can do something else. So my brother and I studied very hard. I still have calluses from those days, so it's a good reminder. As Brad mentioned earlier, I worked for International Paper for several years, the executive management program, spent some time in Wisconsin. very blue collar union environment, which I know you guys talk about somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
I would go out to the paper machine out there and those guys would start bitching about their job. And I'm like, don't talk to me. I had to chop cotton in the hot summers of Mississippi. So they're like, oh, okay. You might know a little bit about manual labor. I'm like, absolutely. The only other thing we could
earn that respect very quickly.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I could bond with them on was Green Bay Packers, right? And so this was the time frame when Brett Favre was up there. And so, you know, he was starting to get really good. And so we could talk about that. So even if the machine was running bad, we could go to that and get that squared away. I got to do a lot of neat stuff there. I went over to Europe and did mergers and acquisitions, came back. They were going to move me to New York. I took a job in Memphis as the chief operating officer and eventually became the CEO and got a chance to sell that business a couple of years ago. And then I moved here to Florida, started out in consulting. And then through a long story, I became the CEO of a law firm, not by choice, but just, you know, things happen for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't a choice. No, it wasn't by choice. It was an actual decision. You are correct. It was a decision.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And so the bar was pretty low. And I'm like, I think I can make a big difference on that. And so
no,
that's
pun intended
really well.
On that. Was there a pun intended on that? The bar was pretty low.
No.
I used that one pretty good bit. So,
yeah.
So how, right. So from that manufacturing perspective, and as you came up through that ranks and maybe you weren't on the floor, but you understood it. You grew up doing the work and out there, and now helping as a legal team to be a service provider to your clients. How are you making that connection to be authentic with your clients and not above them and being able to connect with them versus, you know, that hierarchy that many organizations tend to want to have, like we're better, you're just the client type scenario.
Yeah, no. And we try to teach that with our younger associates. And part of it, Brad, is quite frankly, just the respect of another person, right? It's not about me. And if you approach it, like, how do I help this other person first? Not about what I can do for you, but like, how do I help? That makes a big difference. And then, you know, do some homework on them. Now with LinkedIn and Google and ChatGPT, you can find out a ton of stuff for people, if it be a client or a professional service advisor or anything. And so, you know, excuses, I don't have time. Well, then you don't care about that person, right? And so time is the ultimate priority. So we all have 24 hours in a day. What do you choose to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the same thing that irritates me a little bit is when people show up late, and, you know, some people in that generation do a great job with that and some do bad, just like in our generation, we have the same thing. So there's a lot of common things. I think the media has done a little bit of overplaying that. Obviously there's something to that. But at the end of the day, it's people, and we can go back to, I don't know if you guys read Ryan Holiday, he talks about the Stoics, and people are exactly the same today as they were then. So,
yeah, we're all humans. It's just that the generations have the common bond of whatever those social/economic or events or technology breakthroughs or things like that, right? Kennedy assassination, before my time, right?
But are you sure?
Challenger explosion. Really? Yeah, I'm positive. Challenger explosion. Okay, cool. That had an impact. 9/11 had an impact. Maybe 9/11 didn't have an impact on my kids as much, but the Columbine shootings probably did, right? Very different scenarios to what they're coming up with. So finding those common grounds of understanding are really, really important. And taking that time to know what's going on before you interact or say, put foot in mouth or whatever that might look like.
Right. Well, I think you got a good example, Brad. Those kids that were in college when September 11th happened, right? That had, again, in my lifetime, never thought something like that would happen. And then, 7 years later, the Great Recession of 2008, their parents got laid off. And then COVID happened in 2020. So, you know, in a span of 20 years, when they're developing their adulthood, that's, some of those kids are still really scared today, right?
Yep.
And we did not even have that thought process. So to your point, I think you got to keep that in mind when you speak to someone at that point. Again, it's caring about that person.
How do you instill those characteristics into your team today? What are some of the tricks or techniques that you use? Because whether in a law firm or whether you're an HVAC company, the same, we're humans, right? So the same techniques should work.
Yeah, a couple of ways. One is like with attorneys, they're very billable hour conscious, right? And so they can use that as an excuse a lot of times. But what I found is, you know, like I'm still here in the office after 5:30, I'll go pop into one of the younger associates and we We met like one of the young ones, a big UT fan. So we'll talk about Tennessee football or basketball. And then it evolves into, hey, I'm struggling with this type thing. And so I have to get to know the person first, but I have to go to their office. They're not going to come to mine. So that's a great example of, you know, tracking the leadership role from that perspective. And then with Rotaract, what we do is I meet with them once a month and we'll either go coffee or lunch or sometimes we'll just go walk on the beach to do that and just have a free flowing conversation. And sometimes it's a scripted. Sometimes we're like, hey, which book do you want to read? So I really try to figure out what is it that person wants me to do to help them. So it's just kind of little things like that. There's not a, you know, one big silver bullet. It's a lot of little things. Again, kind of going back to, am I going to invest in that person? It's my choice.
Yeah. What are you seeing, George, as some key characteristics of the younger generation for things they're looking for?
I will say, you know, part of that, the pie in the sky answer is everybody's kind of looking for the same thing. But the person that I mentor, I met with her last week, and I don't want to divulge too much about that, but the boss she was with had gone to some conference and they talked about this generational thing. And he came back to her and said, hey, I think the people, because she's 27. So what is that? Gen Z?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Gen Z. Oh, you guys don't really want to own a business. You just want to work really hard and not work as much. And she's like, time out. Where did you get that from? And because she's at 27, she is much further ahead than I was at 27. She's mm-hmm. really sharp. She's got all the boxes checked. And she's like, George, why would he say that? I'm like, yeah, I have no idea.
Because you got bad information and they're not listening to this show. That's why.
That is why.
Yeah, right. Right.
Right. Because Gen Z is so close, much parallels your generation, George, the boomer generation, in so many different ways.
Wait, why are you singling him out? You're in there too.
No, I am not, Mr. Millennial. Mr. Wannabe over there on the screen, Mr. Doyle. I'm close. I'm not going to lie. I have a lot of those tendencies. I get it. It's all good. But there's that alignment there of loyalty. There's an alignment there of understanding. There's that alignment there of I want to get my job done. Yeah. The difference is, I think, that the Gen Zs will start with their bucket full of respect and trust. They start out at 100 and you lose it. Whereas the boomer generation and the older X generation, it was you had to earn it. You started at zero and had to work your way up.
Yep.
And that's a massive difference of behaviors in the workplace,
but,
for sure.
But don't you think it's a different time? Because when I was going through there, Brad, and see, it was hard to get a job. So I was lucky to get one. Where now they have people pursuing them literally every week. And so what I talk to our guys about is the people that we have are really good. They're getting offers, right? Mm-hmm. You can always go get another dollar, but can you replace the culture, the values, the things that we really hold, you know, high esteem?
Right.
Yeah. And it was no, I mean, yes, every economic situation, there's jobs. Yes. Are there more jobs today than there was, you know, in 1964? Probably. Just because there's a different level. There's different things going on. There's more fast food restaurants. There's more service-based industry. There's more banks. There's more
everything.
All of those things. There's more, there's influencers now. There's social, right? There's all the things you can do on social to make a living. Whoever thought you could go deliver food in your car and do that or drive strangers for a living, not call it hitchhiking, right? And get paid for, right? I mean, think of all the things that have happened over the years to how people can get paid. And that's the difference. We had a guest, a gentleman out of Minnesota, and his philosophy is that there's going to be more of the younger generation, Gen Z and younger, are going to be looking for multiple part-time gigs to fulfill various portions of their life and rank them in a hierarchy of 1, 2, and 3, and they'll have more of it to satisfy different parts of their curiosity and learning.
Mm-hmm. And there's not as many of them, quite frankly. I mean, people are having less kids now.
That was just this week. They announced that there was actually an increase in the birth rate for the first time in, 0.3%. But still, it's might be a COVID effect. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
COVID delay.
Yeah, it's expensive to have a kid. So,
yeah.
It's expensive for everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. George, help me understand a little bit on like trends that you're seeing from a legal standpoint in the workforce.
Yeah, especially that's a good question.
So especially as it relates to generations, the generational work.
Now there is a gap there because some of the guys that are older than I am, they would have to bill a minimum 2,200 hours, which means they work 2,600, 2,700 kids coming out of law school today are like, I don't mind working 1,600-1,700 hours, but I'm not going to work 2,200 hours and die at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a big deal. And so what I talk to our guys about is, you know, we can sit there and complain and the world's unfair about that, but that's the way it is. And if we're really good about doing what we're doing from a recruiting standpoint, then that's going to be a competitive advantage for us. And plus, those kids will want to work here as opposed to, yeah, I can go to law school and some of these upper level ones, and they come out with a huge loan. So they'll go to a big law firm and, you know, they had to pay off the debt. So when we go to a college or a law school to recruit, first question we get out is, yeah, you got a big law firm, you're going to get paid a lot more money than we'll ever pay you, but what are you looking for? So we try to get that out of the way quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think some of them have done the analysis to know, oh, that's a big salary, but if I divide it by the number of hours, I'm probably making less than I would be here.
Mm-hmm.
I know they would be making less, yeah. So.
Correct. That's the marginal rate is not ever talked about.
Yeah. So,
but you, again, they didn't do their homework, where some of them have really done their homework. And another one came to me and said, look, I do not want to go to a big law firm. I'm like, oh, why is that? And he said, well, it's not necessarily the money, but I don't want to be one of 200 partners. I'd rather be one of three or four or five partners where I really have a voice. And then my ears perked up like, okay, now we got somebody that really is not just throwing me a bunch of words at it.
Yeah. What's the Vokey Wedge doing back there for George? I see a wedge. I see some hybrids maybe back there as well or something.
No, that's a putter with the ring on there. I've got a lob wedge and a sand wedge, right? Just to do some chipping in the office with the wall. So
don't take out the windows.
Yeah. No. I don't get to do that as much as you would think I do. Yeah. And there's actually a little putting green there, but not so much either.
I have one of those in my office as well, and that's where I that's like my 5 minutes just go get away from something and cleanse my mind and come back to something when I get stuck.
Yep.
It's like, go hit 10 putts and just get frustrated with that and then come back to the thing that isn't that hard.
That's right. It's all relative then.
That's funny. George, I'm also curious, advice for some of the younger generation as they're coming into the workforce. You've kind of mentioned it a little bit about doing their homework, but what are you seeing as, I would say, gaps and things that they are not thinking about when they are getting into the workforce?
Yeah, I would say one, you got to have a healthy degree of curiosity, right? So, you know, again, we could probably spend the rest of this podcast talking about ChatGPT, and I can break along generational lines as well, but you know, just like you can go to Google or kind of date myself, is when I did a term paper in high school, I'd go get the encyclopedia, and some of the guys I played ball with, they just copied it word for word, right? And so it's the same thing today. Is then, like, if that gives you an answer, what does that really mean? Because a lot of guys in the legal profession, especially the guys older, are like, this is bad. All they're going to do is copy and paste. And I tell them, look, then we hired the wrong person. So I'm looking for that person that's trying to get ahead. He's going to be curious, or she's going to look at things differently. Because our client, the biggest thing we have to teach is they already know the law, and just like any other words, engineering, accounting, or some profession. But the key point to that is, how do you take that information and apply it to whether it's a blue collar guy, a professional guy, a doctor, whomever? And it's not a script, right? And part of that is you're going to probably get beat up a couple times, but you can't be fearful. And part of that is they're used to texting and not, you know, or sending an email. And so there's a hesitancy to pick up the phone, or even more, to go see the client. So we try to kind of help them through that. And the ones that do that, I mean, the client comes back to me and said, hey, they're fantastic.
Yeah. Communication is the ultimate key, right? You have to be responsive. You have to be curious. You have to answer the question. And often, right? You can't necessarily be on the clock for every second of every conversation. You have to be respectful of time both directions. If you're calling me to get some information, I'm hoping my clock's not ticking, but I haven't told you something. But every firm is different, and helping. How are you? So today's society, kids aren't thinking about the next thing. They're not thinking about the third or fourth question, because they go through school, regurgitate, study, learn, regurgitate, and go on, and life is scheduled for them. How are you supporting your younger staff members to be able to get to that third or fourth question of understanding, to bring in that situational awareness and context to engage with your, not only with your clients, but internally within your own team more effectively?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what we just talked about. You got to have a natural curiosity. And then it's like, why is that? Well, why is that answer pretty good? Or are you just shortcutting? And it's like, well, that was the first answer I got. I didn't go any deeper. And we've had some attorneys to struggle with that, quite frankly. And they were not necessarily younger. They were older. They said, well, that's what the client is. Or the one I really get frustrated with, well, I sent an email or I left a voicemail, right? And so it's like, well, that didn't mean that that was done. But not part of that. And then it's like that, what are, you know, are you really trying to help the client or are you just trying to take the answer and then just move on?
Mm-hmm. So how are you, do you have a gauge? Do you have a tool? Do you have a BS meter? Do you have some sort of technique that you are using to facilitate or teach that, that curiosity? Weird that we're coming back to curiosity here, George. Well done, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, part of that is just in some of, even when you're having, you know, one of the things I know that people miss from working remote is the water cooler talk. You learn a lot in that situation. So even if we're talking about athletics, which in theory has nothing to do with the legal profession, but it's like, hey, if Tennessee got beat by two touchdowns, well, why was that? Oh, they just had an off game. Well, why did they have an off game, right? So you can kind of pick up some clues on that, which kind of helps me the next time I go talk to that person of like, well, how do you do that? One of the things I try to coach our guys on is if they go to a senior member of the team and the younger person asks a question, the tendency for that older attorney is to instantly give them the answer because they want to feel valued. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you have to stop doing that. Yeah, but George, they really didn't know the answer. I'm like, okay, you're not going to help them by giving the answer because they'll just keep coming back. You got to let them think.
They can get the answer on this device. If they wanted, if they wanted the answer, they could just look it up if they wanted the answer.
And then the coaching opportunity is like, well, tell me more about how did you come up with that solution or what are the other options that were a challenge for you? But make them feel the pain of going through that because that's the only way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We could, again, I could spend 20 minutes on that alone. So again, to me, that's basic common sense, but I think everybody got that memo and they don't get it in law school.
Well, it's different, right? Everybody's common sense is relative.
Yeah.
I mean, the common, right? It's common sense today to put your seatbelt on. When we started driving, there were no seatbelts.
Right.
They weren't, they were just, they were there. There were seatbelts, they were there, but they weren't, right? Okay, cool. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just is, it's relative to your era of opportunity.
Or maybe there wasn't a very good explanation for us to wear the seatbelt at that point in time.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I look at football, I think that's part of the reason why there are the respect of the human, their opponents, right? Back in the day when you didn't have all the padding, all the protective things to keep you from being injured, you still had idiots out there going out there and trying to kill each other. But at the end of the day, they weren't doing the stupid things because there was respect.
That's right.
Within the Players Association for each other. And there was that. And as we get more and more protective and things are getting safer, it just some of that danger or that risk goes away and we don't think about that.
But we didn't have the ESPN highlight either where that made where the guy was coming with his head to be the first lead story either. So
right. I mean, my kids, right? I mean, every car they had an airbag in it. You know, luckily they've never had to use it, but everyone's had seatbelt warnings, airbags, all the things, backup cameras. Now it's like, yeah, no. If you don't remember backing up into a light pole because you couldn't see how far how far it came out through your mirrors because you weren't paying attention, then you just didn't understand the awareness around, right? You just didn't have that experience. So
You notice how more people back into a parking space now because they have that option.
And ultimately it's a safer thing to do when you're leaving the parking lot, right? Most construction sites that's required or it's required to back in because at the end of the day, you're tired and you're not paying attention and you want to get out and it eliminates the opportunity for error. So George, this is the bite your tongue segment of the show that Mr. Doyle started out. He's got some great ideas once in a while.
Every now and then.
Yeah. So this is the question. So somewhere in your either professional career, personal life, is there a moment in time where you probably should have bit your tongue before you went on to say some things? And What came of it? What was the result of that? What was the opportunity or learning from it?
Probably several, to be saying.
And we could call your wife if you want to. That's fine.
Yeah, bring her on. We don't want to go down that path. She actually wants to watch this podcast, so I'm not going to go down that one. So I want to stay married, Brad. But part of that is my tendency is that I want to go ahead and get that answer quick. I can solve that problem, as opposed to waiting and listening. And there's, you know, again, you guys probably know this better than I do, that there's a lot of showing the person you're listening. Even if I don't agree with what they're going in that direction, I've got to switch the gears and ask a more thought-provoking question. Probably in a meeting sometimes, especially with international paper and in a corporate environment, bureaucracy was just frustrating. And so I was with the senior VP and it was 11 o'clock at night. We were working on the budget and I was in Wisconsin actually. And he was trying to get us to commit to some number. He was like, I just finally said, I'm not going to mention his name. It's like, what do you want the number to be? And that was probably not a smart move from a, you know, corporate standpoint. I just got so frustrated. And then the guys around me said, oh, we're so glad you said that. So I took the heat for that, but I learned from that though, Brad.
Yeah. Not to be so direct sometimes when you're not in the,
well, you got to
title power position,
right? You got to read the room. And again, it was 11 o'clock at night. We started at 2:30 in the afternoon. So, He didn't even bring in dinner.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And then 11:30 at night in Appleton, Wisconsin, there are not too many places to go eat in the mid-90s. So
there were no Quick Trips. There were no, it was
Perkins at that time.
After that, Steve, I did not want to go to a Perkins.
No, they didn't have the right, beverages.
They did not.
Yeah. Right. You probably could have went to one of the bars and got a frozen pizza, maybe.
Yeah, I probably could have. Or what is it? Cheese fries is a big deal up there. And
so, cheese curds, yep.
Cheese curds, yeah, that was what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right? You probably could have got a Tombstone frozen pizza from one of the corner bars and a, you know, good old can, old style or something.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Ryan
Lane. Line and Kugels was a big deal then.
Line and Kugels, yep.
Is that still around?
Line and Kugels? Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is there. They just... So the Miller Coors, they just announced that they were shutting down the Chippewa Falls area.
Oh, really?
Which was a big tourist attraction where Line and Kugels was being brewed. So that came out of nowhere. So the Line and Kugels family is trying to recover and or bring that back, that name back, even though it was sold to the Miller Coors or Miller and then Miller Coors. And
wow.
So, yeah, it's a mess right now.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
It's, hey, you know, it's the brewing industry. There's consolidation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's also expansion in the microbrew area. So,
right.
George, if folks are down or in Florida or they want some opportunity or they want to get a hold of you, I'm going to assume you guys practice across the U.S.
Yep.
Or if there's a young person listening, go, hey, I really liked what he had to say and would just like to have a conversation about mentorship or things like that. How do people find you?
Yeah, so they can go to a variety of ways. I'm on LinkedIn, George McCann. You can go to rezlegal.com, rezlegal.com, or you can send me an email, george@rezlegal.com. You can call my office, number 904-638-3065. So, and again, it's, as you're pointing out, a young person wants to do that, I'll be more than glad to help them. I think one thing today that's different than when we were younger is people today seem much more willing to help as from a mentor standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I know corporations have that, but if you go to someone inside your corporation, they're still going to be judging you. Where if somebody's really trying to do it for the right reasons, what a great opportunity. You can ask that really dumb question that you'd be hesitant in the corporate world or learn not to.
Steve does it all the time. Have you listened to the show, George? Steve does this all the time.
I've seen it sometimes, right? Yeah. I didn't want to, you know, pick favorites or try to chastise either one of them.
I know I'm your favorite, George. I got it.
It's all good. It's all good. We know our roles.
Yeah, no.
So what's the handicap at right now?
Right now it's like about a 14. So
okay. And what's the target?
Single digit. I was a single digit in Memphis when I ran that company and got a chance to play, you know, once, twice a week. It's hard to do that right now. So what about yourself?
Sitting at a 5.4 right now.
And you, Steve?
What's a handicap? No, I don't have a
wheel. I'm his handicap.
Yeah. I can drive a golf cart.
Oh, there you go. Well,
and you can drink a beverage.
I can drink a beverage. Been a while, but yes, I can. So,
all right, George, thank you so much for taking time on your day. I appreciate it.
Yeah. If I can do anything to help you guys as well, please don't hesitate to reach out.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks,
George. All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. You too. Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.